This is Susan Stocker in Arundel Museum on the 31st of May 2022, interviewing Jackie Millwood for the Life During the Pandemic project. Right, one of the first things we'd like you to talk about is the first time you heard about COVID. What were your thoughts then? I mean, what did you think?
I can remember. I was talking to my son and I said, oh, it's just going to be like Asian flu, which was in the 60s, I think it... No, it would have been in the 70s. Even more. And then he was saying, well, it seems pretty serious, and this was the very first hearing on television. And we were both proved quite wrong, really. I mean, yes, it was serious, but more so than I think anybody expected.
So can you remember when that was? Because I think it was about Asian March time, when we got notice of the COVID thing.
I think earlier.
Earlier than that, you...
Because there was sort of, there was half a mention of... No, that's reflection. My two great-grandchildren in Switzerland had a chest infection just after Christmas. And they now think that was possibly COVID.
Interesting.
Because a chap had come from China, a Swiss chap had come from China, or via Italy.
Yeah.
And a lot of people had this chest infection there. Wow. In Switzerland.
So that must Sorry.
Whether that's true or... Well, it's obviously conjecture, but...
Yeah. Well, then obviously you must have got quite worried at that point then, if you knew that your grandchildren...
No, that was...
Did you learn about that later?
Yeah, you didn't learn about COVID or anything. We didn't learn about that for about 6 months. They knew they'd had the chest infection, obviously, but they didn't know there was a potential connection.
And were you healthy at that time? I mean, did you have to worry about catching anything, because you might have...
Didn't even give it a thought.
No, it's extraordinary, isn't it?
And to be lucky, I've not had COVID.
Well, here we go. So, well, then it asks you to perhaps explain how your life changed. Did it change personally for you when lockdown was announced?
Oh, very much so. Very much. And living alone, it was very much... you had your thoughts, and there were people you could talk to, but over the phone, it's not the same as talking to somebody personally.
Did you have family close?
Luckily,
friends?
No. My family aren't. The nearest ones are about an hour and 10 minutes drive away, which in normal circumstances doesn't seem anything, but when you're only allowed out for half an hour a day.
So could you meet at friends with the sort of 2 meter distance thing in the town at all, or were you completely...
I could meet up with friends, that was no problem at all. And then living in a retirement block, there are people around all the time, so you didn't feel completely isolated. Yeah. But once you're in your own flat, then that was... But Zoom made us huge. As soon as Zoom came on, that made a huge difference.
Wow. So it was... You're IT cute, then you can get connected up with whoever you wanted to.
Cute enough, but not...
So you didn't have those embarrassing moments when you were chatting away and the other end's going...
Oh, of course.
Yeah. You see it now, don't you? Even a television interview, you hear it going... Turn your button on. The other thing to ask is, because at that time, I think that's when it came in, was about the bubble, people that you could be indoors with. Do you remember that one?
Yeah, I that was when I first sort of met up with family again, because I could drive up to, I think as soon as I could drive to meet them, then that was fine.
Right.
But then, yes, I have friends around that I could sort of see fairly, well, at a distance. But
And I suppose really, at that point, your friends and neighbours became more important almost than any other time that you've been been living there. I know you haven't been living there long.
I was going to say my neighbours. I'd only moved 6 months before it started, so I didn't know the people that I was living in the block with, but obviously I knew people in the town that made a big difference.
Yeah. And did you find any support from the people in the town, any of the groups that got organised, the church and people like that?
I didn't actually need to. I think I was fairly self-sufficient, I think.
So I couldn't do this, so I hope you can. Could you describe a typical day during lockdown?
Boring. Both to say and to live.
Okay. How about shopping and things like that? Did you have to do
online.
That? Online again.
I could use a computer to do online shopping, which was good.
And what about your reading? Are you reading?
That was one of the things I actually put down on my list. I read a lot, but I have very little memory of the books I read.
Yes, I know.
And that was a lot of salvation. I was glued to the television, watching for the news all the time, seeing what was going to happen. It was so addictive. Oh my gosh, so many people have got it now. This number of people have got it now. This number in the area have got it now. That was horribly compulsive.
So, since we've got into that daily routine, did you have a sort of timetable to your day when you got yourself to do things, or did you let it all hang out? How did it work for you?
I just plodded on, I think. I've never been a routine person, I have to say. So...
Did you try anything new? Did you, online, that sort of thing?
Not that I recall. I mean, I made dozens and dozens of face coverings to start with. you've got to do your bit.
And you had lots of material at home, I assume.
I have a lot of material at home. So I did some sewing, but yes, the face coverings, and then the different patterns that were coming out online for you to sort of sort out, and how they progressed and how they became easier to make as well.
And did you experiment with food? I mean, because did you just carry on as usual? How did that work out for you?
I carried on, I think. I eat fairly healthily, I think, and I don't recall not being able to get food online. But I can, when you think back, there were shortages, weren't there?
Did you have difficulty booking a space online?
No, because I can slot in with early mornings or whatever is cheapest, really.
Okay, right. And there's a question here that I'm not sure that we've lived through anything as... I'll say it anyway. Has this experience been different to any other historical events you have lived through? Well, you've spoken about the Asian flu, and in my childhood I remember things that happened with outbreaks of things. Do you have anything there that's equivalent, or you could say, well, we lived through that, so we'll survive this?
I've got vague recollections of... I was 4 when the war ended, and I have vague recollections of being in a cellar. We lived in London, so the cellar was the place you went. So I have vague recollections of camp beds being in there, but they're very dim. And then you start wondering if they're real or not, or they're just what people talked about afterwards. Asian flu, I would have been about 15. So it would have been late 50s, really. Not even the 60s or 70s.
Damn.
And that was quite nasty. That was quite nasty.
Really? Were there precautions in those days? As we were all encouraged to... not get too close to people and wear masks.
No.
Was there anything like that?
No. I was at a boarding school at the time, and when your temperature reached 102, you're allowed to go to bed. Well, my temperature never is always on the low scale, even during when I was going over to the Lido, they were taking it, and it was always lower than it needed to be. So I was never allowed to go to bed, even though I was desperately ill. And that was pretty awful.
Well, it would be, wouldn't
and then
it?
I was in the sick room afterwards because I had, well, probably had pneumonia or something, but I had a real cold cough thing that I had to stay in the sick room.
So you have had another crisis.
So that was, really, I suppose, a lead up to this one. I don't even thought of it that way.
Well,
I can remember food rationing and queuing for food. I don't know if they count that as.
Well, yes, because we haven't had to queue for food, but we did do it other ways, didn't we? We had to go in early, as you said, or you do it online. So, yes.
We had to, and bananas first coming for sale. And sort of the first time I had bananas, it was with milk and sugar, and I and people watching me eat them because it was so unusual.
Oh, wonderful.
That was quite, that's a
big what memory. A memory. What a beverage to have.
And queuing up for relatives for stockings and food queues were quite, yeah, that was normal way you shopped. And then rationing, sweets came off just around the coronation time. They came off rationing, I think. You could buy a bag of broken biscuits for a penny.
Oh, yes.
In the shops and things
and
like
oranges
that.
For a treat.
And ice lollies, when they first came out, they were made with just orange juice and water, and then all the juice came out and you were left with a block of ice.
Well, that the lovely memories from that time. Mm. Let's hope somewhere along the line in the long distant future there'll be happy memories of this somewhere along. Perhaps in some other way.
I think there will be laughter from it. Yeah. I think that's British humour, isn't it?
Well, we've covered really about keeping up to date with COVID news, but did you go online as well as waiting for the news? Did it really come to you in any other way? It was just the constant news exposure. Mm-hmm. I bet you were pleased then when we heard about the vaccinations.
Yes.
Did that go easily for you? Did the system work?
Yeah, I booked up and had to go to Midhurst. And that was... that actually, driving to Midhurst, not having been out for a long time and having driven for a long time, that was bizarre. It's almost like just after you've learned, you've taken your driving test.
And did you notice there wasn't that much traffic on the roads
either? Oh, definitely, definitely. Mm. But it was just lovely. It was freedom.
Mm.
It was nice to be able to go. And then I think I had to go back to Midhurst. I have lost count. I think I deliberately just tried to forget about it. I've lost count whether I've had my fourth one or not. I need to check up.
You didn't have to go to Midhurst all the time, did you? I went to Midhurst twice and then locally.
I think I went to Midhurst and then Bognor.
Mm.
I can't remember the fourth one.
I bet you've had it though.
Well, everyone tells me I have.
The fourth one is fairly recent.
It's recentish.
There were the first two and then the booster.
Mm.
The boost, what was called the booster, was the third one.
And, yes.
But I know I haven't. I'm 70, and I haven't had any notification.
Well, I'm 5 years older than the booster line.
Yeah, and I'm halfway between the two of you. And I did have my booster, but I went to Chichester for those who didn't use Chichester.
I have had it. Thank you. Yes, because I did Midhurst, Bognor, and then Chichester. And I didn't realise it was the theatre car park. So the sat-nav took me miles away.
Oh, no. Oh.
And that was quite funny.
Oh, I'm not surprised you've forgotten all that. You don't need to know that again, do you? No. Sorry to have dragged it up for you. Well, we've got to the part now where John's going to take over.
Yes, should I be sort of stated that
yes, I
that
will.
I'm here
yes.
as well?
John Thompson is now going to take over for the second part of the interview, and so over to you, John.
So, Jackie, could you describe what it was like when you first went out after the first lockdown? I know we just touched on the thing about driving.
That's my main memory, but I suppose because it was so gradual, I don't know that I can remember the first time I actually... I can remember going for a walk along, when we were allowed out for walks, walking along Mill Road, and my son sent me some earplugs so that I could talk to him, because I didn't want to walk on my own. Oh. You know, you feel so silly. Yeah.
Do you have a pet or a dog?
No.
Because I went out regularly, just taking my dog for a walk, just for a short walk down to the river, which was permissible.
Yeah, so, I did take a couple of friends' pets out occasionally, but I don't know, it's weird sort of walking on your own when there are other people that were all walking in sort of pairs. You rarely see people, you now do more, but then I didn't feel comfortable.
Can I just ask, because the one thing I found was that I didn't want people near me. It made me, well, I think it made me very antisocial for a few years, quite frankly. But I used to walk along like that if anybody was coming, and I'd walk onto the road. Really didn't want to get near people. So did you feel that you had to avoid people?
Yes, but I'd probably just turn my head.
Oh, right.
I didn't think, I wouldn't have thought to do that.
I think people treated it like a footpath, like you would a road in a car. You go into sort of a lay-by, as it were, to allow people to pass.
Yeah, and most people did, I think.
Yes. Has the outbreak affected how you associate with the community or friends and family?
Not really, because I think now it's long enough since to start to be more relaxed and more normal.
Yes.
It's taking me a long time to remember appointments. For instance, I came here a couple of weeks ago thinking that was the date. I can't get used to knowing the date and the dates. I'm finding that quite hard.
Absolutely.
I've got it on my phone, I've got it on my calendar, and I still don't get it right.
Yes, so you wake up in the morning thinking, what day is it? Today.
No, I don't think. I think I'm even past that. No. I even had to ask Alexa this morning what day it is.
there are certain words or phrases that seem to come in to usage during the. For instance, self-isolation and the word lockdown. So, were there any other sort of words that you?
Zoom.
For me, yes.
Yes.
And that was a salvation. That was a huge salvation at the beginning. You could felt that you were closer to family and friends. Although you could FaceTime and see them, to be able to do it with groups was just lovely. And we had a family set up